Welcome to the Av Podcast with Kelsey
on South Shore Ave Radio.
Welcome to the Av Podcast. All right, before I begin, a couple of things. So, due to some family commitments earlier this week, I haven't got a chance to start my post-game, my post-game podcast of the NBA Finals. So we're starting this back today, and hopefully this goes seven games. I don't know if this will. So definitely this week there'll be some episodes starting from today, from what you're seeing here right now. And Yes, and I want to make sure that you guys enjoy it like you've enjoyed all the other podcasts in the past. I definitely appreciate y'all for tuning in as always. With that said, though, I wanted to bring back Sal Sharaf, family member, friend of the podcast, Mr. Kevin W. for specific reasons. And here's why. And this heads down for a specific reason, because back in 2018, I had him on a podcast basically trying to measure his angst as a Knicks fan. And during that period of time, it was desperate, hard times, man. Like, I mean, it was a Kristaps Porzingis era when he was in prime injury mode or about to enter his prime injury years. So, and it was like the end of the Carmelo era. If you guys remember, it was a bad time. People like Alonzo Trier and the drafting of Kevin Knox was something that Knicks fans could look up to. Not saying this Knicks fan did, but specific Knicks fans was like, man, you know, Phil Jackson's back. We could do some things. I love James Dolan. Things like that. Things like that used to happen. Maybe not the James Dolan part. But anyways, so, you know, if you could put a spotlight on the bad times, you gotta balance it out and put the spotlight on during the good times. And I have to say, this is some great times right now as a Knicks fan. This is probably the best time as a Knicks fan, right at this exact moment right now, when tickets are costing $11,000 just to get into MSG. With that said, you know, there's definitely a yin and yang balance of life, and Knicks fans are definitely yanging right now. They're yanging out the mother, you know what I'm saying? So I definitely want to get your feedback on this, Kevin, because like I said, you've been long suffering ever since I've known you. I've known you since 91, 92, since we're in the eighth and seventh grade, respectively. You know, you were a Knicks fan then, talking about Starks and the Ewing era and Oakley and Mason and all these guys. And man, you went through it after the early 2000s, but you're here now. So I want to ask a double-sided question. Before we begin this real quick, what, as a Knicks fan, how has this run been for you? And then also, how has these two games been for you in the NBA Finals? Go!
Thank you for having me, Calvin. Hi, everybody.
Before you begin, I want to make sure, I'm just a ride in solidarity just for today. This is the most New York Knicks, a New York City jersey I can find at this moment in time. I have a few more, but Mobb Deep Shook Ones record label imprint is what you need. Oh, let me pull this out because I literally had to dust this off. It's a New York Knicks hat that I had from the mid 2000s. I don't even think this can fit me anymore, but I'm gonna rock it to the side to show solidarity, like I'm looking like Funkmaster Flex out here. All right, get started, Kev.
As long as you're not selling me those big chunky lugs, you can do whatever you want, man.
I never wore them things ever. That was never in style. I don't know what Fletch was talking about. Ever in style.
So
Timberlands are nothing. <Let's go.
laughs> So to answer your question, what's it been like? It has been absolutely. It's been indescribable. So you're seeing some of it already, like with the footage in New York, right? You're seeing fans swinging from everything. But for me, it's been like it's been an emotional journey more than I'd like to admit, but I think it's safe for me to share my emotions again after the last Rantosaurus Rex from years ago. This is a culmination of like whatever the Red Sox and whatever the Cubs went through, and they got to like breakthrough, and you see people break down crying and they have these emotional experiences. I'm very close to understanding exactly what they've been going through. It has been over 30 years. This jersey is over 30 years old. This is like straight champ. Where is it? Yeah. Anyway, it's a champion. You know what I mean? Like I grabbed this in New York for $25 back in 1990. Anyway, a long time ago. But I grabbed this with telemarketing money. Actually,
listen, don't start crying like that fan talking about the starting lineup. Josh Hart, Jalen Brunson. No, don't do that. Keep going.
But I have a connection. Like New York is, I have family in New York. I have like memories in New York, and I've had a lot of like heartbreaking experiences being a Knicks fan. And I'm telling you, this is something special. This entire run, the fact that when the Knicks used to be down, they were down and there was no coming back, you know what I mean? But now this, for some reason, down by 22, give us 6 minutes, we'll get this out of, you know, we're going overtime, we're gonna win. We're down by 14 on the road, don't worry about it, give us about 3 minutes. Remember last year in Boston, they were down by 20-25 points in both games, and it's just like, give us a couple minutes, we're gonna steal your heart, we'll steal your soul.
That was a great series, by the way.
And so was the Philly series, which was New York South. Well, one of the New York Souths, because the Knicks, the fans travel well. F them picks. Love these Knicks. I'm telling you, man, it's something else. And I don't care how many more it takes. Hopefully two, which would make this one of the most like tie for the most legendary run in NBA history. Just two more wins. I've been one win away before. And my heart got broken by unfortunately, my favorite player didn't have, well, Ewing didn't set a hard enough screen and a lot, you know, anyway, really close, man, really close. Two more wins. And then if I'm bad now, just wait. This will be the summer of George, I tell you. I am going to be out of control within reason. We'll see. But something feels special this year, man. It does. Yeah, it does.
I got to say, when you're talking about 94, do you think somewhere in Panama, Rolando Blackman's like, I should have played 10 minutes. I should have played 10 minutes. yeah. All that, I mean, there's a pretty strong possibility that those demons are exercised in by Friday, you know what I mean? Or by Thursday, like by Wednesday, you know what I mean? Because, and I think we spoke about this offline, cause going into the finals, I this is when the OKC series and the Spurs were still going on. I think it was like game seven. And then other people I was talking with, but they were like, you know, I'm like, man, they're like, whoever wins this wins the finals. You know what I mean? Like, they're basically going to win the finals. And I'm like, I said, you know what? If it's OKC, I'll say yes, especially if they can get everybody healthy. If it's the Spurs, I'm like, it's going to be a good series. I'm not going to just give it to the Spurs like that. You know, and everybody was over the moon about everything that San Antonio was doing. And within reason, because especially seeing from what those young guys have been, how them young guys have been playing, it's been really amazing, right? You can't sit there and argue about it. It's been an amazing, like what they've done is like, it's pretty much historic. You've never seen a young team play this well, like through the whole process. The closest that I can remember in my lifetime is probably the Magic. You know what I mean? But they ended up getting swept after that first game, right?
Or OKC when they made their finals run.
Oh yeah, well last year, yeah. Actually, yeah, you're right. So that would be the correct answer. And to a lesser point, the Pacers too, right? Because that last year's run was, I mean, again, I'll say this again. If there's Pacer fans out there that probably still believe that, you know, if Halliburton doesn't tear his Achilles, they're the champions. And they're not necessarily wrong in thinking that. I would, if I was a Pacers fan, I would hold on to that forever too, right? But I mean, I say all this to say that, like, I thought the Knicks had a good shot because, yes, you know, you could argue about the level of their opponents during the Eastern Conference run, but the one thing I recognize though is the elimination games, like the way they've been taken out each team, you know, the first round, second round, and the finals. I'm like, okay, yes, you can say this is a competition, but this is actually destructive. Like I didn't watch the full Atlanta game, like game six of that Atlanta one, because I was like, I by like the second quarter, I'm like, yo, they're up 50. Like this is like Madden rookie level shit that's happening here. I'm like, I'm not watching anymore of this. I'll put on a movie instead, you know? And then when they went up against Phillies, I missed that game, but same thing. They won by 40, right? It got embarrassing by the second quarter. The Knicks fans was like ever present in those road elimination games. You can hear them louder than you can hear the rest of the crowd. You know what I mean? Same thing in Cleveland. Like Chalamet and Fat Joe was in Cleveland for a weekend. You know what I'm saying? Like this is a big deal. And the way they were just dismantling each team in those elimination games told me that, like, okay, there's a different level of focus that we haven't really seen. I would say definitely props to Mike Brown, because even during this whole season, I've been saying, like, listen, I support my black coaches. You know, I always want to see them succeed and win. No matter what happens in this series, we're going to see a black coach win, which is going to be awesome. But Mike Brown is like the one guy where I'm like, I kind of need to see it first. And whatever happened with this, with this move of offense in terms of having Cat be the point of reference on the offense now, it changed the whole trajectory. They've won, was it 13 straight? They've won 13 straight since they made that move, right? Think about it. When they were down 2-1, people are looking to trade like pieces of this roster.
You know Giannis, what I'm saying? Giannis was on line one if that continued. And yeah. Mike Brown would have been fired, and Mikal Bridges probably wouldn't be, you know, like it was bad.
Yeah, it would have been F them Bridges. We want them picks. Like that's basically what it would have been back, right? But
yeah.
But I say all this to say, I'm like, there was something a little different about them that you could recognize. And I know for sure I told you this. I was like, if anyhow the Knicks win game one, and you could testify that I said this, that anyhow they win game one of this series, I'm like, I think they're going to win the series, because I'm like, they've played four games in like 3 weeks, basically.
Since April 23rd.
They played four games in like 23 days or whatever it was, right? So I'm like, usually that first game, you know, whether you're at home or on the road, you kind of need to, you know, to shake off that rust a little bit, right? And I'm like, if they, like the game one is the one that you want to see them. Like, you want to see them lose. You know what I'm saying? Like that. And that's kind of respectable. There's been a long break. But I'm like, if they get game one, I'm like, they're only going to get better. And we saw what happened in game one. And these games have been great. We saw what happened in game two. It's hard to think that it's not going to be a sweep. Or it's hard to think that the Knicks aren't going to win this series now. I know you want to temper expectations, but I'm not saying this to, like, cause I'm on this gravy train. I'm not, but I'm just watching from a guy that's like a basketball nut, and, you know, like a semi historian of the game. I'm seeing trends. I'm seeing things that I recognize. And I'm like, usually teams that are going up 2-0, you know, back to home base, usually end up winning that series, especially. And I mean, and I'm not sure if any of those teams have been in a situation where they have a complete rabid fan base like the Knicks one has been, because they haven't been to a finals in 27 years. That's different, man. Look, I know I've been talking for a bit. I'm just saying, like, when I I actually happened to be in New York for parts of that. The last time they were in the finals, or they were making this run when they were an 8 seed and
99, you know, they were
making that run to the finals in 99. I actually happened to be in New York for about like a weekend, maybe like 4 days, something like that. And yo, New York then was like, it was going crazy. You know what I mean? So to see what we're seeing now, and you're 2 wins away.
And bro, coming back, man, to the crib.
It's an awesome experience.
And coming back to the crib. The thing about OKC and the OKC Spurs series, that was a classic. That was Wemby's like coming of age and everything, and good on them. Great series. Sorry, Chet, whatever he, I don't even know if Chet said anything, but whatever he did to anger Wemby, that's great. And they have home, they had home court advantage to start, which is huge. But the fact that that game stayed so close in the beginning, and the other thing is, like, they don't fluster. It's almost like the White Walkers in Game of Thrones, you know what I mean, where it's just like, all right, we're down, give us a couple minutes, we're gonna get this sorted through, we're gonna handle our business. And they pick their spots, they just cut away at the lead every so often. They have it's by committee. Shout out to Mike Brown for using his bench. I'm sorry, Tibbs. Loved everything that you did to get us here. But the one knock is that you had this talent on your bench. You had horses to give these guys some rest so that they can actually last the series. And he would break people, he would run them into the ground like rental cars. You know what I mean? You
get those right now is like,
dude, everyone's knees need WD-40 when you play for Tibbs. Like, if he likes you, like, you're a victim of your own success, right? But everybody ran into the ground. Bridges was complaining. DiVincenzo never came out. Didn't come out of games, you know, and everything fell on. But now it's like, it's a team effort, and they don't fluster. Like, somebody's going to hit a key shot, and they're playing together. It's not ISO ball. ISO ball you can gear against. This is a death by 1,000 cuts. All right, Bridges got 20 points. There's a Josh Hart game. I'll score 29 against Cleveland and hit a bunch of threes. I think he scored like, what, 5 points? 4 points in the first two games? But he's grabbed like 24 rebounds or something like that. You know what I mean? It's all like, it's this collection, and they all bought in. And it's the power of like working together. Obviously, you could see how magnificent it is. And the same way that those fans back in 72, 73 talk about the ball movement that they had back then, how it was a team effort, it's the same thing that we're seeing now. Like, the post game interviews where everybody seems to be locked in, amazing. And then you also think the fear that's instilled on these teams when, like, you can't exhale because you always have that feeling. You know what I mean? Like, it's that, oh, shoot, we're not out of the woods yet. That was never the case. That wasn't always the case with the Knicks. But this version of the Knicks, your lead isn't safe. 10 points, not enough. 20 points, not enough. 22 points, we're on the road. We got not enough. And then, like, the home fans, like, you could feel that energy when they, you know, it starts snatching your soul kind of thing. And, like, everywhere they went in Atlanta, think about all the people that paid good money to go sit there courtside, got decked out, whatever like that. You're down by 50. Go get a hot dog and get out. This game's done. We're going back.
Go get a lineup in the ATL lounge, though, first after you get your hot dog. And then
sure. And then beat it, because this game's a wrap. We're going to be playing our start. We're going to be resting our starters for the second half, basically.
Yeah, go to 112 after. Go to 112.
And Philly, don't even bother trying to make any plans for it. This is done. That's the quickest, like, this ouster has been, it's been surgical. 50 points, 40 points, 20 some odd points. You're done. How many coaches are going to be fine? What was Atkinson? When Atkinson was talking about, statistically, we won, they're making fools out of people. Yeah. I've been for years. I know the heartbreak that turnover is going to cause. You have those kind of incidences. That's like the Halliburton bounce where, like, the series can change. That was huge. And then again, the little engine that could, the Brunson burner, he's right there. He knew already that, like, this guy's not looking. I'm just going to go grab the ball. Commits a foul on the guy. The whole crowd is shook. He just gets one out of the two free throws. Just enough to snatch your... You know what I mean? Just enough. Now we're going home 2-0. And the post-game interviews, that Mikal Bridges interview that he gave, where it's like, I got to be better. I can't do blah, 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 blah. And he turns around, but you could see that energy. And then he just goes, like, he walks away, goes, he drops the F-bomb as he's walking. I'm like, they want this bad. They know what's coming. New York City immortality. The murals are going to go up. Like, the fireworks are going to be lit. And just without saying too much, I don't want us to get mushed. You know what I'm saying? Don't mush. Do like me, bro. Watch from home. This is not about you. It's about us. Don't get us mushed.
You don't need the bad karma.
Thank you. Just...
You don't need the bad karma right
now. We don't need it. It's not like he's been there before. He's not like he said he's been a fan. And I, Dolan, don't get in the way. Again, Donnie Walsh had an idea, he had a plan, and you came in and you're like, trade anything, trade everything. You know, stay. Just let it happen, please. Please.
He just couldn't help himself, could he, though, Dolan? Like, when I saw that last week, I was just like, I just laughed, man. I was like, man, he can't do it. It's like one of those guys who's like a promoter or a DJ at a party, and he's like, the DJ sucks, and he's like, now he's finally bringing in a good crowd because he has other DJs rocking the crowd, and then it's like, finally it's like, you know what, let me dust this off, it's my turn. Everybody's like, no, we just watch, man. Could somebody get him an extra bottle?
Just, I'm telling you, we, as a long-standing Knick fan, I don't need a JD and the Experience band opening at game 3 or 4.
Oh, it's nothing. coming. Nothing. He's doing the national anthem.
Do the halftime show. Do not be like, hey, this is my big chance. Sit down. Go.
Just be an owner.
If anything, maybe we can just ask Charles Oakley to make sure that, you know, somebody say, you know, if it, anyway, let me just two more.
And shout out to, you know, to the Knicks fans, because every time they made the playoffs, they remind me so much of Canadiens fans. Actually, no, they're worse than Canadiens fans, because Canadiens fans don't, there's not like a damn near right after every playoff win, but it's only when we win a playoff run, then, you know, you might have to call the army. But in New York, though, it's like the one thing people say, though, that it's kind of true. Y'all are polarizing, man. Like, Knicks fans are, to me, they're hilarious. To other people, they are super duper annoying as hell. And I get both sides of it. I really do. But I love it. I think it's hilarious. I send you videos almost every day of all these Knicks fan reactions for years. I think it's so funny to me. You know what I mean? So, but I say this to say that, like, you know, when you're one of the original franchises, like, I'll say this for all sports. Like, it's, you see the power in that, because when they travel, like, think of like the Steelers, when Steelers go to certain playoff games, you'll see towels and you're like, yo, isn't this game in Jet Stadium,
California, or
MetLife Stadium? Yeah. Why is there so much friggin' yellow towels? You know what I mean? It's the same thing when the Canadiens travel. It's the same thing when the Yankees have big fans, like New York, the Knicks, man, they travel, man. Like, when Deuce hit that shot and all you heard was Deuce, I'm like, yo, what the hell is going on? I'm like, and then you found out it's like they actually bought 36% of the tickets. I thought the Spurs actually would have been smarter than that to at least block. Because, you know, there's some places they'll block you if you're not in the proper zip code. They'll block you from buying tickets. Like, if you have New York Knicks zip codes, they'll block you from buying tickets until every Spurs or every, you know, every local fan is able to get tickets for the game. So I'm surprised the Spurs didn't do that. I think they're probably going to do it if it gets to a game five, because you can't have that. Like Deuce McBride is a role player. I can't feel like I'm watching this game at MSG when he scores a basket on the road.
Yes, you can.
Not in the finals.
And the thing is,
I get it, because what I was alluding to before, the tickets are so expensive. It's actually cheaper to fly down to Texas, pay for a hotel, go stay at a Best Western and go watch a game than it is to drop 12 grand, you know what I mean, and hit the subway to go watch a Knicks game.
And fly back. Yes. That's one of the reasons why, like, going down to Philly, that's like a three-hour drive, maybe? Right, hour and a half?
Maybe two hours?
Put on a playlist. You go down there. Your tickets are cheap. You could probably pay for a family of four to go to an away game than one ticket at MSG. MSG and fourth, like that's the way sports are going now, unfortunately, that the true diehards are on the outside and the ones that just want to be seen are going to get tickets on the inside, or they're forced to the nosebleeds. That's a conversation for another time. The Knicks fans travel well. Yes. Are they insufferable? Some of them are. But I mean, it's been a long, long, long time. And this incarnation of the Knicks is something like the Mellow Knicks. That was one. It was good.
It was all right.
Linsanity. That was fun for a month. You know, the Ewing, like the bad boy Knicks with the black Nikes and the ball, you know, and the bald heads and everything. That would have been great. That was gritty hip hop, like, you know, like Mason, everything. That's one. But this team, this collection of like the personalities, the backstories, everyone's been doubted, everyone's been counted out, everyone's been overlooked, just throw-ins and like castaways, and you're trying to prove yourself, and these, you know, and your old teams don't want to give you an opportunity. Now you have a chance to flourish. There's something that resonates and embodies almost every, it's anyone in a big city's story, basically. And the characters on the team, it is something special. I know it's like, oh, the Knicks, it's New York and basketball and what this can mean will be incredible. Incredible. Will they be insufferable? I'll be insufferable. I'm going on the record now. There's nothing you'll be able to tell me for a long, long time. The only thing that's going to stop me, my summer of George, will be the exchange rate, because I'm going to lose so much money converting and spending, you know what I mean? But I will, like, this will be it. I've been waiting a long time, and the Knicks have been up 2-0 before, 93 against Chicago. Mm-hmm. They won both games, the Starks dunk, right?
I mean, that was Jordan, though, but yeah.
And yes, the Charles Smith Memorial, see? So that's why I'm not getting too hyped. Things can always happen, right? They've been up against, they were up X amount of points against Indiana last year, had their hearts ripped out from underneath them by, was it Nesmith, or who's the guy that's bombing all the threes then?
Yeah, Nesmith and Halliburton.
Yeah, Nesmith went Brunson for like six threes in a couple minutes. Unstoppable. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, like, so two more. And then I'll be calling you all hours of the day just for whatever. And whatever it is you're going to try zinging me with, I'll just be like, yeah, well, the Knicks won the championship. And you know exactly what that'll mean.
You remember when everybody was ready to give Wemby the league after they won the Western Conference Finals?
Yeah, yes.
That was pretty cool.
You know what? Every team, because I've realized this in all my years of watching, you go through your, like, you know, we're coming up stage. Then you go like, okay, we're in the playoffs. Oh, we have a chance. Or let's see if we can punch up against this rival kind of thing. If we can hold our own. But you got to go through those, you know, you got to go through those lumps and those and that heartbreak. And that, you know, the Isaiah Thomas turnover in Boston, right? Or Tragic Johnson.
Yep.
Way back, where you always have like that shoot, or the Kobe misses. You need that, had it, and then to come back stronger.
And even veteran teams have that, because that was the Spurs in 2013, right? Subbing out Duncan, you know, for that Ray Allen three. Like, it happens.
And then you have the motivation to come back. The Knicks, I think the Knicks and this Brunson era, like they've paid their price. They've paid their dues, basically, right? Like they've gone through it. They've adapted. They have the city behind them. I like how Cat always shouts out the city at the end of every game. He keeps like saying like it's for New York. It's that's good. And it's true. Like, you got Cat from Jersey, Brunson that has New York ties, Alvarado that's from Brooklyn, I believe. I think was he Philly?
Maybe he's Philly. I'm trying to remember. But there is some sort of like, it's a close enough connection kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
He's adopted.
Yeah.
He's been adopted. Like,
there's this webbing of like, we have a chance to bring this home for the city. It's not like a whole bunch of outsiders doing it. It's a bunch of like guys that want to be Knicks, OG Anunoby. Yeah. You know, like all these guys that are just like, yeah, they're embodying something, and it seems like it's a strong wave. And yeah, two more victories, man.
Listen, man, OG Anunoby, I don't know where this is coming from. There was a point in the playoffs where they showed a stat line for the postseason, and I was like, you sure that's not for like the last two games? Because it was like over 20 a game. I'm like, where the hell was that in Toronto? You know what I mean? But it's something like he's fitting in very well into the city with his, you know, the personality that he has. You wouldn't think it would work, but it works great. It's seemingly, like, he's got major fans in New York right now. But, you know, I'm making a joke about Wemby, of course, because to your point, like, yes, you got to go through trials and tribulations, and basketball is the one sport where you're going to experience that the most. You know what I mean? Like, it's one of those things you have to kind of go through that. You don't just come in and just win. As great as you are, it's like Wemby's pushing this to that theory to the limit as much as it could be pushed. You know what I mean? Because, like I said, usually you don't win. You know what I mean? Usually you don't win this early. You know what I mean? But, like, he's pushing it to the limit as far as you could push it. Because it's not just him. It's representative of the whole team. Like, Dylan Harper has been amazing. Castle's been amazing. Champagne, I thought, it's funny, I googled Champagne thinking like, oh, this guy's like 28, 29, 30. He's 24.
That's a hard 24, man.
I'm like, good Lord, man. These guys are young. Like, this team is, they've been young and they've been amazing. So, you know, and I was saying this in previous pods where I'm like, you can wear Wemby down. You know what I mean? The one thing that Wemby is experiencing outside of like Cat, like basically going toe to toe with him and sometimes out playing him in this series. This is the first series that he's had where he's being tested. And, you know, think about it. The first round he had, oh my gosh, Donovan Clingan, who was like a double, double young guy. He's solid, but he's not a scoring threat. You know what I mean? Second round was Minnesota, Gobert. Okay. You know what I mean? You have Hartenstein, even though he's you know, he made a bunch of floaters and teardrops over Wemby, and it was commendable. But at the same time, again, he's not a threat. You can't leave Cat open. Cat's running the offense. You can't leave him open. He's making great passes. He made an amazing pass off an offensive rebound that I literally had to like rewind that to see if he actually did that by mistake. He got an offensive rebound. I think Cornette went to block him, and he last minute he hooked it around his arm and threw it over to Bridges.
The Bridges on the baseline for the three.
That was an amazing pass. That's why I was like, did that just happen? You know, like, so he's a threat. You can't leave him open for three. You know what I mean? He's making people better. So you can't just roam the paint alone. You know what I mean? Which is giving him work, being physical with Wemby. As I mean, Wemby's vertical. He's very vertical, 7'5", but he doesn't have the girth and the size. So Cat's pretty strong. You know what I mean? Say what you want about his Cat's a strong. Come on, Kevin. Cat's a strong player. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not saying he's Shaq, but he's not, you know what I mean? But he's not Chet either. You know what I mean? He's not Chet either. So, you know what I mean? Like they give him work. Like they he has to work for us for offensive rebounds. He has to work. At the same time, too, I do feel like the coaching staff on, and this is where the inexperience comes in, right? The coaching staff on San Antonio, they've done a commendable job. Again, all praises to them. But like both these teams don't have real finals experience to that degree. The difference is though, the Knicks have all these players that are in their prime now that have all been through some stuff that you can lean on those memories collectively and together that the Spurs haven't had that experience yet. And it's kind of bearing fruit now, right? Because the games have been pretty close and there's times where the Spurs are up and they're winning and then the Knicks just stay calm and they just kind of pick you apart. And I mean, the Spurs keep giving it to you, but you see it a lot with Wemby because Wemby is going through periods where like he'll go through a quarter where it's like, yeah, he's been really unreliable at a certain point in time. Then he'll get it together, but it hasn't been consistent, right? And that's, again, when you haven't been there before, like that experience going into the finals holds weight. Like Mitch Johnson has Popovich in his corner, which is amazing, but Popovich is not on the sidelines.
Yeah.
You got to make those quick decisions at certain moments. I think, like, for example, having Carter Bryant pick up Brunson full court in game one, bad idea. I thought, like, as it was happening, I was like, they need to switch this now. Like, because Brunson wasn't scoring at all. And then after being picked up by Carter Bryant, who's not a guy that's going to pick you up 94 feet, not against a point guard, it's like, okay, like, you're basically, because here's the thing with basketball. Here's a secret about basketball that I'll say. Like, you don't want to wake up the monster. You don't want to wake up a sleeping giant. And when I say that, it's not always about the baskets. It's about the rhythm. Yes, as much as you want, like as much as you don't want to wake up the sleeping giant in terms of scoring baskets, you really don't want to wake up the rhythm. That's what it's about. Because once you start getting, because you saw it with Brunson, once he started he ran off like 3-4 in a row and he had like 5 or 6 straight successful possessions. All of a sudden, now he's in the end of the game. He didn't shoot well the rest of the game, but it didn't matter. He was in a rhythm now. And you don't want him to be in a rhythm. Like, basketball is a rhythm sport, right? Once you, like once you're playing and it's like you feel like you're in your step, you're in your bop, it's like even if you miss, your confidence is like, I'm going to get the next one. Even if I miss the next 10, I'm like, I'm going to get the next one because you're in a rhythm now. And I felt like that put him in his rhythm. You know what I mean? Where you had a chance to basically kind of take him out. It's like you gave him life. And those are the experiences. Even the last shot with at the end of game two, I thought that was a terrible play call. I thought that was a terrible play call. Yeah, because you wanted to like 7 seconds left, you want to attack the basket. Go attack it. Like they took too long to set that up. Because as soon as they missed the shot, that was
it. They did just fine.
but I'm saying all this to say that like experience is key, right? And you're starting to see this here. Now we'll see how the rest of this series develops out, but like experience is key. And basketball, again, as much as it is anything else, it's a rhythm sport. So and you want to make sure that the best players are the best scorers. You don't want to wake up a sleeping giant and you don't want to get them in their rhythm. When they're in their rhythm, it doesn't matter if they're 12 for 30. They can hit the next 5 because they're in rhythm. That makes sense. You know what I mean?
The sleeping giant, you're correct. I think that De'Aaron Fox just made a mistake at the end of in the fourth quarter when he bodied Brunson and then he just kind of, you know, stared him down in his face and Brunson didn't waver at all. You don't want to do that to Jalen Brunson. Don't try punking Jalen Brunson. And then when Rick Brunson came off the bench, he's like, don't do that. You don't want to do that heading into Madison Square Garden. You don't want to do that. Like he's already broke your heart in game one. look who hit those free throws. I got that steal at the end of game two. Thanks, De'Aaron. Learn your lesson. And speaking of rhythm,
and not to cut you for a second, but that's a dirty little secret. He hasn't played well scoring wise. He hasn't played well yet.
He's shooting 35, 36% from the floor, but he's
going to have a breakout game. And the, what better place to do it?
Calvin, you know, when Brunson goes, when the Brunson barrage happens at the Garden, I don't think San Antonio is, they're rattled now. I think some of them are, because we were this close. We had them, kind of thing. And trust me, it was 8-on-5. We'll talk about the refereeing later, because Deuce did not step on. He did not cross. That was not a backcourt. And Mitchell Robinson just going like this is not a technical foul. And you want to talk about rhythm? Karl Anthony Towns was in his zone. He was putting in that work. Like Charles Barkley said, like, yo, he's taking it to, Wemby. Wemby's not ready for this. And the refs were just like, foul on you, foul on you, sit down. And they sat him down. That was supposed to be Wemby coming through, like breaking out moment. But went to his bench, get us Mitch, get us Mikal, carry us for a couple minutes. But Karl Anthony Towns was on one. And he's, I think, the MVP so far of the series.
For sure.
For what he's been able to accomplish. He's taking it to Wemby. He's gassing Wemby. Wemby does look tired at the end of these games. I think obviously it's the longest he's ever played. But you have to put him out, because if you put Cornette, it's going to be trouble. Like, and the Knicks have the size and the depth, and you're hitting him with something different. Mitch is he's a great defender, really good defender, horrible free throw shooter, but nobody's perfect. Nobody's perfect. Then you have OG for some size as well. OG just giving him that little, OG doesn't say much, but he gave him that little, and then went up for one of the most boring two-handed dunk, you know, old man dunk.
That was sweet. I don't know what you're talking about. That was sweet.
I know, but it's not like there's no emotion. He's just like, you know,
yeah.
I did this, you know, like it's, and then Karl Anthony Towns, he's hitting his threes and he's just like going, looking back at the dude. It's rhythm. And it comes down to experience. That I think Castle has a championship, and Harrison Barnes has it.
UConn.
Sorry.
Yeah, Castle has a championship. UConn. Yeah.
At UConn. Yeah, and Harrison Barnes has one with Golden State, but they don't really have that many. Like we've gone through, like you know, like Brunson, Bridges, Hart. They have NCAA championships. They have experience. They've been on the big stage. Cat, how far did that Kentucky team go?
They didn't win, but they made the Final Four.
Right. But it's big lights and whatever like that. And they've played at the Garden. They know what they're going into. They're coming home and they have that mindset to stay aggressive. It might get. And the Spurs have this weird way of, like, they have this weird, this awkward history of not having the best record at Madison Square Garden. It's weird, but it's even Wemby's first showing at the Garden was not good years ago. But I mean, I'm not saying that's good. The trend's going to continue, that it's going to be an absolute, but I think I don't know if they're ever going to be in a more hostile environment. It's nice and kumbaya and colorful t-shirts in San Antonio where you're at home, right? This is different. This, you're going into like people taking some subways, and like the Garden is going to be like I think everyone needs to watch games 3 and 4 at the Garden. You're going to hear, like, it is going to be a whatever the Roman Colosseum was when they were feeding people to the lions kind of thing. It's going to be like that. You better get these calls right, and you better keep Tony Brothers away from, you know. my man was on one. Yo, that, listen, just for a second, it was a Champagne fouls OG on a three-point shot, and there was no foul call until OG's like, challenges. That's a foul. Who's standing right there watching this foul take place? None other than Tony. I'm not sure he's a brother. And he's just like, he wasn't calling fouls. And then like the play-ons, I think it was Cat's third or fourth foul. He wasn't even in the play. The other two refs were like right there. He's all the way over there. Wemby misses and he's like, oh, foul on. Come on, man. come on. Hear me out. After all that, see what I did there?
I saw what you did there. Yes.
It still came down. They still gave them a chance to win the game. That is huge.
No, but what I was going to say too is that, like, going back to experience real quick, same thing with Mike Brown. Mike Brown's been through some stuff, right?
Yeah.
As a coach in the playoffs. It bears watching. It's huge. And we're saying all this, and yet San Antonio still had a chance to win both games. They can easily be up 2-0 or even at least be tied 1-1. You know what I mean? So this is what makes the series compelling at the same time, too, to be fair. Like, it's like, as much as, you know, like I said, I'm allowing you to celebrate the Knicks on the platform in a way that I never thought I'd be able, I would even be able to stomach at this point. I want to take this hat and throw it across the room. But but at the end of the day, I got to give the Spurs props as well, because I'm like, it's, they're making these mistakes, but they're right there. But that's the thing, though, right? With experience, when you're right there, sometimes those two or three lapses is what makes games, right? So that's what makes it compelling. I want to do some quick hitters before we run out of here, though. Let me get this line together real quick. Do you think Landry Shamet ever sits in silence and wonders how Tom Thibodeau's doing?
Nope.
Yeah.
Landry Shamet, my buddy, shout out to Barks. He's just like, he sent me a message. He's like, yo, Tibbs couldn't find a way of giving Landry Shamet minutes last year. Like, really? I mean, at least he brought him back. Like, he kept him on the team because he's been, like, you know, in and out, but the guy gave his all. Landry Shamet has been around the league for a hot minute. Landry Shamet was known, you think he played for the Clippers?
He's Landry only like 26, 27 years old. He's been in the league for 8 years. I'm like,
Landry Shamet was the, he was previously, his previous highlight or whatever, or low light was being dunked on by Aaron Gordon when he swung on the rim and when he was in Phoenix. You remember that on Christmas? Was it Christmas? Anyway, he was on the receiving end. Yeah. It was Landry Shamet taking a charge, trying to take a charge. Now, he's the best three-point shooter in NBA Finals history on the Knicks. He's not missing. He's coming in like he's a microwave. Look,
and he's playing defense.
He's playing defense, and he's like, he would have been sixth man of the year at this rate. You know, like playoff performer. He would have been easy. If he kept playing at this rate. You know what? Two more wins. Two more. I'm ordering a bunch of marble. I've never chiseled or made statues. They're going to be the ugliest statues. If you think Dwayne Wade's statue was ugly, wait till I start carving my Knicks statues. You have no idea what I'm going to be doing, man. Woo! Skip, let me tell you. Yes, Landry Shamet. Everything about this story. And I hope, and I know this new agreement that the league has to, like, make sure you can't keep your team together, you know, and expansion drafts and all that. I wish they could keep this core, like, keep this together and run it back. I think if you win the championship, you should be exempt from whatever nonsensical break your team apart cap or whatever like that. And you should have a chance, because you won the championship, you have the chance to keep your team intact and run it back.
At least for a year.
Yes.
Delayed.
Have a chance to defend.
That would be a good idea, actually. It's incentivizing winning, right?
Yes. But stop gutting these teams just because, you know, like apron. No, we won the championship. Like, our Larry Bird rights or whatever. Like, yo, we're exempt from this. We get to reward our guys for winning.
Yeah.
But yes, what's your next question?
OKC is probably like, agreed. Right?
But I don't care about that.
The way the Knicks are set up, though, it's, they'll be all right for a little bit longer until Brunson's extension eventually is, you know, it has to be renewed and kicked in and all that. So, but there's still time for that. But
I think, well, this is why he's going to be golden in New York forever. Carmelo's, as much as Carmelo did what he could for New York, he took every penny off the table to come to New York and decimated the roster. Brunson came in, showed out, had a chance to take to do the same thing, and he's like, give me less and build around me. That is what Tim Duncan did. That's what Tom Brady did. That's like what the great anchors and cornerstones of your franchise. So whenever you're in the locker room and whatever like that, it's like, yo, you know that this, you're here because this guy who's also balling out and trying to will you to win took a pay cut in New York City of all places. Everybody took the money and ran out of New York.
High taxes too.
He left cash on like in the coffers because Cat is the highest paid player on the team.
Yeah. Not for long though. Not for long. But it's commendable for what he did. But again, you can't ask every player to do that. You're like, in terms of somebody like him, it's taking a chance, but it will pay him back because again, New York City is, I know the world is shrinking in terms of what market you could be in to get endorsements, all that stuff. The price of the brick is going up now because he's going to be able to get endorsements everywhere. Like it being in New York City, if he wants to act, who's not putting him in a movie in New York? It's like whatever show is going to be like, it doesn't matter. Like it's all going to work out from that way. So he's fine in that regard. He's going to be like Clyde Frazier. He's never buying a meal in New York City ever again.
Can I just say something? There was a passing of the torch moment that I'm not going to say, listen, I got emotional from time to time. If you can imagine, when Optimus Prime turned gray on that slab, I'm
not doing this.
Wait, hello? Is this thing on? when Clyde Frazier and Patrick Ewing both had their hands on the trophy and they passed it to Brunson, and the team just like went, you know, buck buck, mm-hmm. You know, that to me was like the keys to the city. Like it's officially yours. Like you've got the team to the finals and bring it home. Patrick Ewing is, geez,
the legend.
The fact that the last generation, like the last, like you know, the legends, the Knick legends, are all in attendance and showing out. It's like this is something special,
yeah.
Very, very special. Like Bernard King is there, mm-hmm. You know, everyone, everyone, like everyone's just. They're all behind this guy and this and what he's doing, and it just seems like the perfect story.
It's a community. It's a great community.
It's a family.
It's a great community.
And as dysfunctional as the top might be, right? They're doing it for each other, kind of thing, right?
Yeah.
Let me see Marcus Camby there and Sprewell and Larry Johnson and whatever like that. But you see the emotion on these guys. Like this is something else. This is great. Great. And yeah, that moment where like Brunson took that, he took the torch. Yeah, man. Yeah, that was one.
He got I'm gonna the let you have these moments, man. Rock out. Like I said, 2018, you know what I mean? I shine the spotlight when you're like underneath the sewers like the Ninja Turtles. This is your time right now. You're okay.
I appreciate you trying to find me at my absolute lowest and put me on a broadcasting platform.
It's what I do best. It's what I do best.
Well, you're first on my list, Calvin. You're first on my list. This is going to be Count of Monte Cristo level of like, stop calling me, block his number kind of thing. I need your address. I need your license plate. Everything. Got it. Yeah. Yes. But it's all love.
Yes. Yes. Do you think Mike Brown reminisces about working for Vivek Rivadeva again?
Nope. I think Sacramento is as dysfunctional as they deserve to be. And he and De'Aaron Fox are glad to be the HE double hockey sticks out of there. He did what he did with Sacramento, and that was great because he actually he gave them hope again, which was like unheard of. Because they you want to talk about owners and teams that can't get out their own way.
Yeah.
I mean, shout out to Vlade and everybody that he passed on. You know what I mean? I'd say like Sacramento and Dallas, and New Orleans, who all just happen to, you know, have pieces that the Knicks would be like, oh, you're not using? I'll take this coach here, right? Mike Brown's got skills, and he got the team to buy in. Cat had a hard time buying in for 83 games out of the season. 84 games. Sorry, 84.
86 or 87.
Sure.
You count the play-in.
Whatever it took, you know, like the idea works, the philosophy works, the team works, and Mike Brown has the credentials, he has the skills. I think it's going to be a good, if he didn't show or didn't get his credit enough for what he did in Cleveland, because Cleveland got him and fired him twice. So, you know, oh, LeBron is no, not necessarily. Then he goes to Sacramento. Oh, Golden State, he learned under Steve Kerr, which the Knicks offense does have a lot of the, you know, that ball movement and ball rotation. There was one possession that it came down to like a second or two. It was a broken play. And it was in the second half. The ball movement was so crisp. So, like, it was incredible. You thought, like, oh, the shot clock's running down. They're going to have to. Nope. It ended with a wide open three on the, I think it was Bridges or something like that. It was one of, I'm like, this is out of control. This is fantastic. Brunson will save the day. That Knicks team would have been like shot clock's winding down. Brunson has to hoist a three or something like that, and it'd be, you know what I mean? It was good because he was scoring. But this is like this is an orchestra. This is a symphony. All the pieces are working together. It's a fine tuned engine, man.
Yeah, Mike Brown went from he had the Kings going from light the beam to take it off. Take it back off. Like it's
light the beam to sell the team. That's what he is. Basically. That's what he did. And I think they fired him, and De'Aaron Fox actually said he didn't want to play for another coach. And when they fired him is when he asked for a trade, I believe.
I feel like at a certain point in the game, I don't know if you watched The Dark Knight Rises, right? Batman, just to use a comic or a movie analogy. Remember at the very end where Alfred is sitting in the restaurant in France or Italy, and he looks over and he sees Bruce Wayne giving him the slow nod. I feel like there's been a moment, we don't know, but there's been a moment in the finals where him and Fox looked at each other and went, and then just continued on going on with the game. It could be like a technical, a melee. They just looked at each other and go, and just, you know, just had that moment because they know, they remember, they know.
It was all good until De'Aaron tried mean mugging, staring down Jalen Brunson. You don't do that. I know you're at home. He'll pay for it. I'm telling you. But yeah. Next question.
Yes. Do you want to repent for your Karl Anthony Townsends?
I'm sorry, the connection.
Do you want to repent for your Karl Anthony Towns sins?
I think I need to put on headphones or something to connect to. Hello?
Yes. Okay. Well, question answered. Question answered. What happens next in going to Monday? What happens next?
I mean, can you hear anything?
No, we're good. Keep going.
Okay. Well, what happens? I think the coverage of everything, I think it's going to be a very heavily, there's going to be a lot of media coverage. I think that it's going to be one of the most energetic experiences in New York City history. And I don't know if you can keep a lid on it. It's boiling. It's a cauldron. There's something special. And If they keep rolling like this, man, I'm telling you, like, whew, what a week this is going to be. What a week this is going to be. I just feel it already. I'm not worried about the players being nervous. I think, honestly, the New York City Fire Department and Police Department are more nervous than the Knicks are. Because this is going to be...
they're gonna have to order the AI robots and the and retired cops to come back on the streets.
Everything. You're gonna be dusty. Yeah. Any and everybody, all hands on deck, because it's gonna you can't. It's all the boroughs, it's everybody. It's gonna be energetic. And yeah, I really think that I don't know. If I'm the Spurs man, I'm staying in my hotel. I want no part of being around. Like,
yeah, you can't go to Canal Street now.
Yeah, you can't. No. And yeah. If I'm Wemby, man, yeah. All right. Well, yeah. I don't want to get Wemby upset either. He knows he messed up, and he has that kind of resolve where I think he's gonna. But this is a big stage, big.
Yeah. Can't go to Flatbush at this moment. Not yet.
No,
not yet. No. At least win a game first, and then he can hit up CVS on Flatbush.
If I were him, I wouldn't win a game. That'd be even worse. Just let this happen. Let this happen and go home.
Just stay in the hotel.
Yeah. Go. Don't anger these fans. Just like again, two more wins. That's all I.
Well, I'm going to echo something that, I have him on the pod, haven't had him in a little bit, Big Brother Curtis, part of the family here. But we were talking about this last night because he's like, if anyhow the Spurs win game three, he's like, this series is going seven games. He said, you don't want to give that team life. And he's like, and that's going to be such a crazy moment in Madison Square tomorrow to come out as a young team with that victory, with somebody like Wemby leading you that has that maniacal mentality, it's only going to feed them further. You know what I mean? Which I'm like, it's a good analysis. It's a good assessment. It's not wrong. But I'll tell him, and I'll tell you what I told him last night. There's no way in hell the Knicks are losing game three. Like, and he agreed with that. You know, there's no way they're losing game three on Monday. There's no way it's happening. It's not happening.
Barring injury, if we're going injury free and proper officiating, this should look, the whistle can change a lot, and they know, like, the way that they picked on Towns, man, like, because I've seen Wemby when he sets a screen. I've seen him push people in their back. He pushed Deuce, he pushed Mikal Bridges. He put Jose Alvarado in a headlock and threw him away in game one. You know what I mean? Like, you can't. If we get a fair whistle, I don't even know who the crew is, but like.
You're up 2-0. The whistles are fine. This is it's the NBA Finals. Relax. Like, it is like, come on. You grew up in the 90s. You grew up in the 90s, Knicks. It's okay.
I don't think you realize. Please try to remember. Who you know what this means
and who I'm talking to.
Thank you. and just for that comment, I just have to remind you, I need your address, I need your license plate, and and blood type. Just what? Yes, what the
thank
hell?
You. Thank yeah, you. Yeah, but, yeah, but to wrap up though, I don't see how the Knicks lose this game. Like I said again, with the environment that's about to happen. Again, you have a rabid fan base who hasn't had a finals game in 27 years. They've been rabid. I can't imagine what the level is going to be, even with the most expensive tickets in NBA finals history, might even be sporting history at this point outside of the World Cup. Like it's astronomical. Some of these prices, I said 11, it's over 11 grand now as we're talking, it's probably going to be like 12, 13 grand by the time this is released. Like it is what it is. But with that said, though, you know, I said this last week too, and at least to some friends, I'll repeat this again. The only way this gets reversed is if Dolan steps in the way. The only way this gets reversed is if karma comes and, you know, you invite Donald Trump to come watch your game and live and in person. I have this Knicks hat turned around away for this reason, because again, this is an old hat. I've had this hat for probably close to 20 years. I legitimately had to dust it off. I'm not even lying when I say that. With that said, take a look at this Knicks logo, this old Knicks logo. You know how you reverse karma? Do you know how you reverse karma? You bring back Oakley. You bring back Charles Oakley for game three. You do that, the Knicks fans will absolutely lose their ever loving mind. People in the stands like Spike Lee and certain guys, Tracy Morgan definitely will start to shed a tear. On top of that, it's like breaking a curse. You do that, you offset that with having Oakley come, it's a sweep. Game four, they win by 30. That's how you reverse this. And put him in a jersey. Put him in a jersey with this logo. That's why I have this specifically. Or this logo. Whatever you got to do, put him in a jersey with these one of those two logos on there, both at the same time. Everybody loses their mind.
Don't
have him there from the beginning. Bring him into the court like on the second quarter. Have him just come through the tunnel and like the second quarter, and just that's it. Make it like a guest at a concert.
So, I would have it, how great would it be that there's like a seat with the Knicks legends, but there's one empty seat, and every, you know, you kind of cut to it, and all of the legends are here, then it's empty seat, whatever, like that, blah blah blah, and then all of a sudden, like you come back, maybe if at halftime, or if the heaven forbid the Knicks are down or something like that. It's almost like a Willis Reed moment, but he's not playing. He's just like a senior citizen. He just comes out the tunnel and he takes the seat. And it was like, oh!
Waving the towel.
Now, that makes sense to me. But I've also seen A Bronx Tale and I know about Mush. You know about Mush, right?
Yes, yes, yes.
You have two courses of action. You either A, bring back Oakley, a Knicks legend and someone that all Knicks fans know, which will get a huge pop. Because everybody there will be rooting for Oakley and the Knicks and the fact that we're a family again. Or you bring in somebody else and say, come watch a game and then cause some sort of rift in division and take the spotlight off of what is actually transpiring on the court.
Just give them a box seat. Don't give them a courtside seat. Like that's
I don't think they can put him courtside. He would have to be in a box with secrets.
Just for the safety reasons, yeah.
Yeah, you can't have that. And the worst part is I know there's gonna be a 7-second delay, but if you put him on the screen, there might be some F bombs.
I just told you how you reverse karma.
They're trying, but I don't even think he's that cool with Patrick either. I don't think they're on the best of speaking terms right now. He called Patrick a coward a couple of years ago. So listen,
give him $1 million right now. Let him sell it to you. Send him the private jet. Send him wherever he's living is Cleveland, where he's from Cleveland. I think he's living in Atlanta. Send the private jet to Atlanta. Hit him up with a mill. Give him a towel.
The only way this works, they're gonna have to put their differences aside, which I don't see that happening. As you know, we get older and we calcify in our beliefs, basically.
In our bitterness, yes.
Not me. I'm just talking about other people in general. It's, mm-hmm. Huh? Hello? but that would be great. I don't know if that's going to happen. I wish it did. And if there were a float of Knicks legends, I wish he would be on that float.
Yeah.
Like he's another heart of the city kind of guy. He's one of those like, you know, I'll dive in the stands, I'll take the assignment, I'll do what I got to do for the city kind of thing. He's that guy. It would be great. It would be a huge lift. But
sell him 1.5. Get the private plane out. It's easy. It's easy. Let's get it done.
We'll see. Again. All
right, well, let's wrap cool. up though, but thank you, Kev, as always, for hopping on these pods. And of course, like I said, the Daredevil episodes that we did previously will be out this week in the midst of these post game these post game episodes, you know, so enjoy your time, man. Enjoy your time. Rock out. The only thing you're missing is the Ewing sneakers around your collar. That's the only thing you're missing right now.
So, maybe when I was younger, my feet would have been able to handle walking around with those cinder blocks. But at my tender, delicate age, I need some sort of orthotic or something like that before I could put Ewing's back on. That ain't happening. I'll stick with this. You know, I'll stick with some of my merch, but I got to protect the, yeah, no. I love the team, but you know, I'll do anything for love, but I won't do that.
I see. But but thank you once again for tuning in as always, for everybody was watching this episode and or listening. Thank you as always. I appreciate you guys. Make sure you hit the like and subscribe buttons. Make sure you go to the catalog over at SouthShoreAv.com. Once again, for the emphasis, that is SouthShoreAv.com. And make sure you hit the 5 stars wherever you can. Uno, dos, tres, cuatros, 5. Hit them. All right. So just do that for me. And thank you very much. Once again, for Kevin W., this is Cal C. And you've just watched and tuned into the latest episode of the Av Podcast right here on South Shore Av. Until the next one, which will probably be tomorrow, we out of here. Peace.